In the scripture we read a moment ago, there's a parable. In fact, in verse 6, we read it. He spake also this parable. Of course, you that have read the Bible much know that a parable is a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. It's a story about something familiar that helps teach us about the things of God and His kingdom. In this parable, there was a certain man. He had a vineyard. And in that vineyard, he had a fig tree planted. He came to the vineyard. He came to the fig tree. He came looking for fruit. He came looking for figs. The thing that makes a fig tree, is that it bears figs. I mean, I guess it would still be a fig tree, but that's what makes it a fig tree, is that it bears that particular fruit. And this master, this owner of the vineyard, came expecting the tree to do what it was made to do, bear figs. He came expecting the tree to do what it knew how to do, bear figs. He came expecting the tree to do what it was supposed to do, bear figs. And as Jesus told the story, he came and found none. There were no figs on this tree. So he called his servant. He called the one that was in charge of the vineyard, the dresser of the vineyard. He says, "This is the third year in a row I've come." I mean, if it was today, he would say, "Hey, I came in 2004. I came in 2005. Here I am again back in 2006. I've come to the same vineyard. I've come to the same fig tree, and I haven't found any figs." And what he said to the dresser of the vineyard, he says, "I want you to cut this tree down. It's taken up valuable space in the vineyard. It's taken up space that another tree could be planted in. It's taken up space that another tree that would probably bear fruit, it could be planted in this place. And so what I want you to do is I want you to cut this tree down." And his servant, the dresser of the vineyard, said, "Lord, let's give it one more year. Let me dig about it, cultivate around it. Let me dung it, fertilize it. And let's give it this year to bear fruit. And if it does, good. And if it doesn't, then you can go ahead and cut it down." Now, I've spoke from this passage of Scripture before. And I believe that the primary thing that Jesus was trying to get across in this parable is to remind us of our responsibility to witness, to remind us of our responsibility to share Jesus with people, to remind us that He's left us on this earth to bring people to Him. And it's not my message tonight, but I just want to remind you that's what we were created as Christians to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then in verse 10 it says, "For we are His workmanship, as we're saved, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So as a Christian, we were created to bear fruit. We were chosen to do that. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." Of course, you know, every Christian knows that we were not only created, that we were not only chosen, but we were commanded to do that. Many different places in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, Jesus commands His disciples, and as He commands them, He commands all of us to go and share the gospel with them. He says, for example, in one place, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He instructed us how to do it. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then He promises results. In Psalm 126, verse 6, the Bible says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And so, again, I think Jesus told this parable, and his primary point was to remind those that heard it and to remind us as we read it today that we have a responsibility to witness. We have a responsibility to tell people about Jesus. Now, and again, that'd make a wonderful sermon in itself. And if that's all you hear tonight, then you've heard what you needed to hear. But I want you to listen a little bit longer, because I want to look at this parable in a little bit different way tonight. I want to look at another way I think it applies to our Christian life, applies to our church. And I think and again, I'm going to look at it from another perspective, from a different vantage point, so to speak. And I think this truth is just as true as the one I just talked about. I think the instruction is just as good as the instruction that we just talked about. Let me just retell you the parable and tell you what the different characters in the parable represent. The certain man who owned the vineyard represents God. The fig tree represents all of us as Christians, all of us who have been born again, all of us who have received Christ as our Savior. I think the vineyard in this parable could represent the church. It said that a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And I would remind you tonight that this church belongs to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the property. I'm talking about this called out assembly of believers. We belong to Jesus Christ. When Peter confessed Christ, Jesus said to him, upon this rock, not on the man Peter, but upon his profession that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So God has put us in this church, in this vineyard, so to speak. And I would just like a vineyard was back in Jesus' day, it was a safe place for the trees. It was a safe place for the plants. And in fact, in another parable, Jesus talked about a vineyard owner that built a stone wall around the vineyard to protect the trees that were in the vineyard from the animals that might come in and try to harm the trees. And in the same way, God has given us in this vineyard, in this church that He's called us to be a part of, He's given us a safe place to exist as a Christian. It's a place that where we can be reminded of why we were created. It's a place that we're reminded that we were chosen. It's a place that we're reminded that we were commanded. It's a place that we can get instruction. It's a place that we can get encouragement. And it's a place that we can be reminded of the promises of God. And all those things go on in this place. And so the vineyard, you could, without really stretching what Jesus was saying, represents the church. And the fruit that we're supposed to bear in the vineyard. And here's how I want you to think about it tonight. The fruit that we're supposed to bear in the vineyard, in this place, in the church, are the fruits of the Spirit. The characteristics of life, the characteristics of relationships, the characteristics that the Holy Spirit tries to put into our life and to show out of our life, that's talked about in Galatians chapter 5. Fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law, it says there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And so the master, the owner of the vineyard, comes to the vineyard. He comes to the various trees, and again, we represent the trees. The trees represent us. We don't represent the trees. The trees represent us. And so the master comes to the vineyard, this place that he has put us, and he comes to the trees that make up the vineyard, and he comes seeking fruit. He comes looking at each of us that are in the vineyard, and he says, are you bearing fruit? Are you exhibiting in the vineyard the characteristics of life, the characteristics of relationships, the characteristics that the Holy Spirit wants to put into each one of us that belongs to Christ. And so here's my message tonight. And this is very unusual because I didn't have any points this morning except for one. I don't have any points tonight except for this one. As the Master comes to this vineyard that we are a part of, and as He comes to us as the individual trees, so to speak, that make up that vineyard, He comes looking for us to bear fruit. And my question tonight, as He comes and looks at me, and as He comes and looks at you, are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? As He comes and He looks at me, and as He looks at you, will He find love? Will He find love? I'm talking about in the vineyard. I'm talking about in the church. Are we meeting the needs of others in this place? Not just the people that we know, not just the people that we like, but are we meeting the needs of everybody in the vineyard? When Jesus was explaining the second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, He told the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember the lawyer asked Him, when Jesus talked about loving your neighbor as yourself, the lawyer wanted to justify himself, the Bible says, and so he asked Jesus the question, well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus, in answer to that question, told the story of the Good Samaritan. And I won't take the time to tell you the story tonight because most of you, if not all of you, know the story of the Good Samaritan. But the essence of that story, the truth that is embodied in the parable of the Good Samaritan, is that you have this Samaritan meeting the needs of this one that was beaten and left naked and left half dead. I mean that parable not only defined who our neighbor is, but it defined what love is, because as Jesus told it, He says, I'm going to tell you what loving your neighbor is all about. I'm going to tell you who your neighbor is, and I'm going to tell you how to love them. You meet their needs. You meet their needs. You find out how they're hurting. You find out what they need, and you satisfy that. God loved us and met our need for a Savior. Jesus loved us and met our need for somebody to pay for our sins. I mean, when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He loved, because, and that love took the form of giving like all love does when He gave His only begotten Son. And so as the Master walks in this vineyard tonight, as He looks at us as individuals, as He looks at the different kinds of trees that make up this vineyard, will He find us bearing this fruit? Will He find us loving one another? As He comes, will He find joy? Not happiness. Not that feeling of goodwill because everything's going good. Not that feeling of not that good feeling because we're on the mountaintop and we have no problems and everybody's well and all the bills are paid and everybody's getting along. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about that feeling that comes because everything's all right in my Father's house. I'm talking about that feeling that you get when you go home and Dad's home and you don't have to worry because Dad's there. I'm talking about our heavenly home. Our Father's there, and He's going to take care of us, and He's going to provide for us, and we don't need to worry. And my friend, we're in that home right now. You don't have to wait till you die to go to heaven. You can have the joy of heaven right now when you realize that you have a Father who is going to take care of you, meet every need, protect you, keep you safe, and do exactly what needs to be done in your life. There were times when my dad whipped me, but I thought he was wrong. I tried to tell him a couple times, and I gave that up real quick because he just kept whipping. But I'll tell you what, I've never been whipped by God and thought He was wrong. I didn't understand why He chose to do some things sometimes, but as I look back on my life, I've never questioned what God has done because I trust Him enough to know that He knows what He's doing. And I may wonder sometimes, and I may even put it into words sometimes, but when I come to my senses, I realize that I have a Father who loves me. And I have that joy that the Bible speaks about, not just when things are going good, but all the time, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, because I have a Father who watches out for me and takes care of me. And so does every one of you that know Jesus as your Savior. You can have the joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And so Jesus, as he comes into this vineyard and he looks at us as individuals, does he find love? Does he find us meeting the needs of other people in this vineyard? Does he find joy? Does he find that feeling of everything's all right because he is God? Does he find peace? Does he find the cessation of all ill will? And I'm not just talking about how we act on the outside. I'm talking about how we think on the inside. Some of us put on a pretty good show on the outside, but if we're honest, we have to say our spirits are at war. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Not only the cessation of all the outward shows of ill will, but the cessation of every ill will thought that we have on the inside. That's what peace is. You say, well, Brother Darrell, I can't have peace. Just can't have it. And I want to tell you tonight, yes, you can. Because peace lets it go. Whatever you're hanging on to that causes that ill will, just let it go. Peace lets it go. And you can have the peace that passeth understanding. You see, the world, and I know Brother Leonard talks about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. You missed a good Sunday school lesson if you weren't in Sunday school. The world ought to look at our vineyard and say this: I don't understand how those people can get along so good. I just don't. They're human beings. They have faults and frailties. They have emotions. They have feelings. I just don't, and that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about that peace that passeth understanding. I mean, even in the closest families, there are times when you knock heads with one another. And if we have the fruit of the Spirit, we ought to have more peace this year than we had last year. More peace. Does he find peace? When he comes, will he find long suffering? Will he find patience? Will he find forgiveness? Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. I think about the patience that a parent has when they're teaching a little child something new. I thought about this afternoon when I was finishing up my sermon about teaching Adam to ride a 2-wheel bike. Something new. I've made a resolution this year not to embarrass him so much, so I'm just going to quit right there. Let me use a hypothetical example. Do you remember when you tried to teach your little one how to eat carrots from a spoon? I mean, you remember putting that spoon, I know if you did like most parents, you'd say, this is an airplane. And the airplane's about to make a delivery. Here it comes. Open up the hangar. And you put that spoon of carrots in that little one's mouth, and he or she went, and it got all over you. You remember the patience that you had back then when you were raising your little ones? I've seen that same patience recently with an adult child that had to go to an aged parent who had reverted back to their childhood. And I saw the roles reversed as that adult child had to have the patience of a parent with their parent as they were going through some rough times. And I want to tell you tonight, that's the kind of patience that the fruit of the Spirit is. When we are patient and forgiving with one another, just like we are with a little child, just like we might have to be with an aged adult when they revert back to childhood. Will he find gentleness as he comes and walks through our vineyard? I want you to think about the first time you held a little baby. whether it was yours or somebody else's. How you felt. How you didn't want to hurt it or harm it in any way. You wanted to get your hands just right and you wanted to support it just right so you wouldn't drop it or it wouldn't fall or anything like that. And yet you wanted that little one to feel the love and the care that you had for it. You were gentle with it. And that's the way God wants us to be with one another. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And as he comes and he walks through our vineyard, will he find gentleness? As he comes and walks through our vineyard, will he find faith? You say, well, it was faith that got me into the vineyard, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I know that. But faith is a fruit of the Spirit, a faith that grows, a faith that matures, a faith that gets stronger as we put God to the test over and over and over and say, oh, Brother Darrell, I don't think we should do that. I don't think we should put God to the test. And I would say to you tonight, why not? He invites you to. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Taste and see that I am good. I think he wants us to keep putting him to the test. I think he wants us to keep taking bigger steps and stretching out more and reaching further and see if he's able to do what he's always done in the past. That's the fruit of the Spirit when our faith keeps growing, as we learn to walk by faith and trust him and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to keep every promise that he makes. As he walks in our vineyard and looks for fruit, will he find meekness? The kind of meekness that was exhibited by Christ, who, even though he was God, came to earth and took the form of a man, took the form of a servant, and became obedient, an obedient servant, obedient unto death. Meekness says this: I'm not better than anybody. That's what Jesus said. In fact, he made himself lower than most people when he took the form of a servant. And that's what meekness does. Meekness does not demand its own way. Meekness does not demand its rights. Meekness says, hey, we're in this together. We're going to figure out how to get it done together. As he walks in our vineyard, will he find temperance, even-handedness, no excesses, temperance in our emotions, temperance in our attitudes, temperance in our actions, temperance in everything that we do. Now, again, I'm not talking about what goes on outside these walls. I think you ought to have the fruits of the Spirit out there. I think the fruits of the Spirit are what attract people to Jesus Christ. I think the fruits of the Spirit are what people look at and say, boy, I don't know what that guy or that lady has, but I want some of it. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking the fruits of the Spirit that we exhibit in this place. As the Master comes to our vineyard, and he looks at the various kind of trees that make up this vineyard, and he says, I expect to see fruit. I expect to see those trees doing what they were created to do. I expect to see those trees doing what they know how to do. I expect to see those trees doing what they're supposed to do. And you might say, well, what about the rest of the parable? Are you saying if we don't exhibit those fruits, we're going to get kicked out of the vineyard, we're going to lose our salvation? No. If you stay around long enough, you'll begin to understand, if you're saved, I don't think there's anything you can do to lose your salvation. I believe in eternal life. I believe in everlasting life. I believe when we got saved, Jesus put us in his hands, and God put his hand around Jesus' hands, and I don't believe there's anything that can get you out of that. So you just, when you hear me preach and you hear me say something like I just did about getting kicked out of the vineyard, I mean, just know, it'd save us a lot of time. Just know, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, because I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I think you're saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. I'm just going to say it. I think once you're saved, you're always saved. and that doesn't give us a license to sin, how shall we continue? Paul asked the question in the book of Romans, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. Not talking about losing your salvation. But I do think God will do this. I think if he comes year after year after year and doesn't see us producing fruit, I think he may say, well, I'm going to take this child home. I'm going to take him to heaven. I'm going to take her to heaven. I think that could happen. And so, as we start a new year, we get another year. The master will be walking through our vineyard, and he will be looking for fruit. Yes, he's going to be looking for us to share Jesus. We ought to do that. But he's also going to be looking for us to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And so let's do it. Let's do it. Over in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking about a vineyard. He's talking about a plant. He's talking about a vine, and he's talking about the branches of that vine. And he says this, the branches can't bear fruit unless they stay in the vine. Stay in the vine. He says, you can, and I'll just put it into my own words, you can't either unless you stay in me. You stay in me. You want to know how to bear the fruits of the Spirit? You get as close to Jesus as you can, and you stay there. Just stay there. Just stay there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for the truth that's in this book. Thank you that you made it so simple that even we can understand it. You told stories like the parable of this vineyard so that we could put it in everyday life and we could understand it. And I pray tonight as we look forward to another year, Father, thank you for giving us another year. Thank you that we have all of 2006 to look forward to. Thank you for the opportunities that you're going to give us this year, the challenges that you're going to lay down before us this year, the obstacles that you're going to put in front of us, because you tell us in your word that even the branches that are producing fruit, you're going to prune so they'll produce more fruit. And so I pray, Father, as we approach this year, that we would be fruit-bearing trees, not only in the sense that we'll share the gospel and see people come to Jesus Christ, but, Father, we'll be those kind of fruit-bearing trees that bear the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, gentleness, meekness, all the things that are listed there. Father, I pray you'd help us as we do that. Father, if there's somebody here tonight that's not in the vineyard because they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit's spoken to them. I pray tonight they see themselves as what they are, a sinner. They see the penalty that's associated with that sin, and they see the one that went to the cross and died for them. And I pray tonight they'd make that decision to receive Jesus. Just bless the invitation, use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.